We thank you for this day that you have made, for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you that we are gathered here today to worship you, to bring you honor and glory, and most of all, to remember our mothers, mothers who are here with us, mothers who have gone home to be with you, and mothers who are absent. We thank you for Mother's Day, that we could reflect and smile and shed a tear, but most of all, to remember. We thank you for our mothers, mothers who have been good to us, mothers who might not have been so good, but tried their best, and the mothers who are with the church triumphant in heaven. We thank you. And Lord God, we pray blessings upon every mother here today. We pray blessings upon every woman here today, everyone who nurtures and cares. And we thank you. And so, Lord God, be in our midst. And most of all, we thank you and we pray for the mother of Jesus Christ, Mary, who gave her sacrifice, her son Jesus would become our Lord and Savior. We thank you for her, as we thank you for him. Bless us, Lord, now. Hear our prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Well, today is Mother's Day, and so we are now preaching on women of the Bible, mothers. We have taken a couple of texts to shed light on them. These are not in our lectionary. We don't have to stay in there. It's Mother's Day. And so my sermon title today is, And God Created Mothers. I said earlier that I'm going to rewrite Genesis, and we will begin. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God created mothers. And then I'll start with the first day, because Lord knows it's all 7 days of God would create mothers. And so, friends, unless you're living under a rock, you know that today's Mother's Day. And even those under the rock know. Unless you're in Mars, you know that today's Mother's Day. And yesterday I went to the store late to pick up a card in the evening, because I thought, I keep texting, Happy Mother's Day, I'd buy a card for this person I'm seeing today, my daughter. I don't know why, because she'd probably be shocked, because every year now we are texting Happy Mother's Day. And you couldn't find a card at Hallmark. What was left over was nothing, because folks were just trying to find a card. We were all delayed. It was like at 8 o'clock, and we were all trying to find a card. So we want to give God thanks that we remember our mothers today. I thank God that folks are remembering their mothers, because it's a wonderful thing to do. And if it's only going to be one day, then let it be one day. But it should be every day of the week. And so I found this little story that I'd like to share with you, this little reflection. And it's called, and I found this after I had my title, And God Created Mothers. I found this from the great Irma Bombeck. Excellent Catholic woman who was a great writer. How we miss her writing. You remember some of the things she wrote, right? And as I was Googling, I found this from her, and it was called When God Created Mothers. And it says, by the time the Lord made mothers, he was into the sixth day of creation and working overtime. An angel appeared and said, why are you spending so much time on this one? And the Lord answered and said, have you read the spec sheet on her? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic. Have 200 movable parts, all replaceable. Run on black coffee and leftovers. Have a lap that can hold 3 children at one time and that disappears when she stands up. Have a kiss that can cure anything from a scraped knee to a broken heart. And have 6 pairs of hands. The angel was astounded at the requirement. 6 pairs of hands, said the angel. The Lord replied, oh, it's not the hands that are the big problem. It's the three pairs of eyes that the mothers must have. And that's on the standard model. And the angel asked, and that's on the standard model, the angel asked? The Lord nodded and explained, yes. One pair of eyes are to see through the closed doors, as she asked her children what they're doing, even though she already knows. Another pair in the back of her head to see what she needs to know, even though no one thinks she can. And a third pair are in the front of her head for looking at a child with love and saying that she understands and loves him or her without even saying a single word. The angel tried to tell the Lord to take a break. This is too much work for one day. Wait until tomorrow to finish. But I can't, the Lord protested. I'm so close to finishing this creation that is so close to my own heart. She already heals herself when she is sick and can feed a family of six on a pound of hamburger and can get a 9-year-old to stand in the shower. The angel moved close and touched the woman. But you've made her so soft, Lord. She's soft, the Lord agreed. But I also made her tough. You have no idea what she can endure or accomplish. Will she be able to think? Asked the angel. Must have been a male angel. Will she be able to think? Asked the angel. Didn't want to interject on the story. And the Lord replied, not only will she be able to think, she will be able to reason and negotiate. The angel then noticed something and reached out and touched the woman's cheek. Oops, it looks like you have a leak with this model. I told you that you were trying to put too much into this one. That's not a leak, the Lord said. That's a tear. What's the tear for? The angel asked. The Lord said, the tear is her way of expressing her joy, her sorrow, her disappointment, her pain, her loneliness, her grief, and her pride. The angel was impressed. You're a genius, Lord. You thought of everything for this one. You even created the tear. And the Lord looked at the angel and smiled and said, I'm afraid you are wrong again, my friend. I created the woman, but she created the tear. And God created woman. Now, the Bible is filled with some great women who became great mothers. For instance, there was Sarah, the mother of Isaac, Hagar, the mother of Ishmael, Rebecca, the mother of Jacob, Rachel, the mother of Joseph, Jochebed, the mother of Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, Hannah, the mother of Samuel, Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and Mary, the mother of Jesus. From Old Testament to New Testament, God has used mothers in the great plan of God. We read the stories of the great men of the Bible, the great prophets, and of our Savior, but in that plan, God has used mothers. What a day today to be baptizing a baby on Mother's Day. These were mighty women of faith that raised young champions for God. Today, in this service, we will look at two women. In the earlier service, we looked at Hannah and Elizabeth. There is enough scriptures to share at Mother's Day. And today, we would look at the Old Testament book of Exodus as we will look at Jochebed and a New Testament story, just briefly, the mother of Jesus. We read that Jochebed was the mother of Aaron, Moses, and Miriam. And if there ever was a mom whose life would have been made into a screenplay for Lifetime, would be this woman. A Lifetime movie, it would be her. You just have to think about what happens. And not only did God just use Moses' mother, he used the midwives, he used Pharaoh's daughter, all that little part of the text in Exodus is about the woman being used in the plan of God. Here it is, those midwives, when they were asked by Pharaoh, why were there so many babies born, Jewish babies, the Israelites, because he commanded them to get rid of the babies. He says the Hebrew women are too vigorous, and those babies are popped out before you could get there. Literally, the Bible says, before you could get there. So the midwives were in the plan of God. God had a plan for Moses' life, and he would use the midwives. And so Pharaoh's plan could not go forth because these baby boys were being saved because the midwives were part of God's plan. Woman, today, let's remember that God continues to use us in the plan of God to raise his children. And now we read in the text that you heard that there was Levi who was married to a Levite woman, and she conceived and she bore a son. And when the baby was fine, the scripture said, about 3 months, she knew she had to hide him. And listen, mothers think out of the box. Do you know that first point? Do you know that mothers think out of the box? We have a way of thinking out of the box. Guess what she does? I know they've taken these terms now as if they're new, but folks and women have been thinking out of the box from the Bible. Because here's what she did, Jochebed. She would take, look how she figured this out. She didn't have a manual. She didn't have a little book to read. Maybe she did. The Bible doesn't say. And she got papyrus paper. That is a waterproof paper, right? Water cannot go in through. And she got a basket. And she plastered it with, and I should have looked what this is, bitumen. It must be some kind of tar, right? Plastered it and pitch. That would be the tar. And she put the child into it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. See how she came up with that brilliant idea? Because she was hiding the baby from Pharaoh's men. So she must have been watching the river. To tell you how she's a woman are ingenious, here's the deal. She knew that Pharaoh's daughter would come there to bathe. And she left the boy's sister, Miriam, there to watch at the water. So now we got the midwives, and now we have the mother, and now we have Miriam. And the Bible tells us that Miriam stood at a distance, and then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe in the river, and while her attendants walked around, she saw the basket among the reeds and went and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the baby crying and took pity on him. Now, here's another good part of the story. What happens here? Then the sister shows up. It's a movie, isn't it? Sister shows up and said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew woman to nurse the child for you?" And who does she get? The mother. The mother of the child. You see how brilliant we are? Women are creative. We think out of the box and we are creative. She went and get the mother of the child. Every time I read this story, I'm thinking, good for you, sisters. I mean, guys, we're not leaving you out today, but you understand it's our day. Good for you, sisters. She went and she got the nurse, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Oh, yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter doesn't know this. And she takes the child and she says, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." Can you imagine that mother's heart? It was her own baby. Now, those babies were nursed for a few years because the milk of the breast milk was the only kind of milk they had. They didn't nurse them for 1 week, 2 weeks, mix it with formula, get a bottle, they didn't do that. There was no formula. There was nothing. There was no supermarket. They nursed them for 5 years. Right? So they were weaned when they had teeth and so on. They were grown. You know, that was the milk. So she was going to have her baby with her for that length of time, talking to him, praying to him, whispering in his ears. That's why much later, Moses could know about the God Yahweh, the God of Israel. That mother had been telling him in his ears. And the Bible says when the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son, and she named him Moses, Pharaoh's daughter, because she says, I drew him out of the water. Here was the plan of God to create, to bring forth one of the greatest prophets of Israel from the Old Testament, Moses. And when you look at Moses' life, that whole story around Moses' life was what? Was carved out and planned through the woman. They influenced him. They saved his life like we do today, mothers. Mothers who are single, mothers who are widowed, young mothers. We are nurturers and good care for our children. And now we have this other story. It's a baptism, so I'm bringing the story together. And then I'll get my point at the end. Here we have now the wedding at Canaan. We know the story about Jesus and his death and resurrection, but we forget the beginning story. And here is Mary. And the wedding at Canaan is said to be Jesus' first miracle. And guess who was his guide and who was planning his career? His mother. The Bible says they showed up at the wedding at Canaan, and Mary was there at the wedding, and the wine gave out. You know that movie now they call The Meddler? People have been talking about this movie, The Meddler, and they said the mother is meddling. Mary was not meddling. She was what? She was networking. Mary was networking for Jesus, because they said the wine went out, and Jesus said to her, and she said to them, when the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. They have no wine. She's telling him. And Jesus said to her, woman, what concern is this to you and me? My hour has not yet come. It's like, mom, you don't understand. Have your mother ever said to you, you really should go interview for that job? I think you would be good for that job. And you were saying to you in your head, I don't think I'm good for that job. I can't take that job. She's networking. Are your mother of a network? Sometimes she's trying to get you married. Has that ever happened? I really think you really could, go married to that one. Mothers are like that, good mother. Mary was doing that like any other mother. And here's what his mother said. She wasn't paying Jesus any mind. You remember, he wasn't Messiah yet. She had raised him, brought him up, and she knew that he was special because her story tells it she was impregnated by an angel, so she knows it was no ordinary kid. And Mary must be saying, all that impregnation by the angel and all of this stuff that I've done, you better be doing something marvelous. All right? So she said, his mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. She knew. Good mothers, you see, they know their children and they network for them and they lead and guide them. And so we see now Jesus performing his first miracle at Canaan, led by his mother. Friends, today, on Mother's Day, mothers are wonderful. There are mothers who have problems. We know that. Mothers who suffer from the ills of the world like any human being. But mothers overall have nurtured and cared for us. Mothers who show up for us, give us birth, wipe our snotty nose, you know that, wipe our tears. Mothers have eaten boobas, you know that. You know when a child, sometimes in the old days, I know you don't know that, Doc. I see Victor laughing, but you know, I don't know if they do that in America, because I'm from the island. And we probably didn't have all the right instruments, I don't know. But when you get a stuffy nose and you can breathe, they probably don't do that in America, I don't know. But back home in the Caribbean, I've seen a mother, she's a Jamaican woman, she knows. Child could not breathe, and we did, and somebody over here is and they know, couldn't breathe, could not breathe, the child couldn't breathe. I've seen it with my own eyes, and my mom has done it. Maybe they did it in India too. Yes, right, and right here in Hicksville. And what did the mother do? Mother took her mouth and put over the baby's nose and pulled the snot out of the baby. Clear your mind up here in church. Of the baby. I'm going to pour holy water over here. Right? Because mothers will do that. I've seen that happen. Right? Because the baby was the alone and couldn't breathe. There's no time to run. There's no 911 to call in some of these countries. What 911? Right? You're 911. You're 911. You're a doctor. You're a nurse. Mothers. Pull the snot out and no. I always says I could not do that. Thank God my daughter is grown. I don't have to do it. But I always says I don't think I had the strength to do that. But I probably would have. Mothers will do that to save their babies. And so they're special people. Mothers will give an eye for a child. There's a quick story in the Bible wherein the two women bring the babies to Solomon and they were fighting over the babies. And one woman baby had died and the other one baby had lived. And the one who baby died had taken the other one. And Solomon said to them, he was such a wise king. He says, what should I do? You're all fighting for the babies. You want me to cut the baby in half? He was testing them. And the one who was the mother said, she was a real mother. She says, no, don't cut him in half. Give him to her if she wants him. And Solomon knew that she was the real mother because she couldn't do that for a child. We have another saying back home that says, if you were to cook a child and put it on a plate and give a mother to eat, the mother would know it's her child. The mother would know. You know, if you put, they don't mean literally, if you just lay it and couldn't see, that's the idea. Now, you know, the mother will always know a child quicker than a child will recognize that mother. Mothers are unique, you see, in the plan of God. Good mothers are. They teach their children. They sit with them. And they teach you words of wisdom. These children who are coming to Sunday school here know things. They know the word of God. They know the Bible. And I'll share something quickly as I close, because sweet little Anderson is going to be baptized. I want to share 5 points, short. I remember as I was going through my own struggles, a divorce and so on, some years back, and just gets overwhelmed, I would draw on something that my mother would do. My mother was a church-going woman all her life and brought me to church. And she always used to say, you'd hear praying sometimes, crying. She graduated from high school, but she wasn't, you know, I didn't have a big college degree, but none of that was helping me at that moment. And I would hear her praying, and she would say something. She always says, Lord, take the case and give me the pillow. And I couldn't understand what that meant. I was younger. Take the case and give me the pillow. Take the image. She was looking at a pillow with a case. And it's an old Jamaican saying, and she was saying, Lord, this is a case I can't manage. You take the case and give me the pillow to lie on, that I could rest and you take care of it. That would not mean anything to me. I was just thinking, she's not talking. Till I got to my own stuff. And all the knowledge and the wisdom and the education was not helping. Overwhelmed, you're going through the book, overwhelmed. And one night I was in my house, and I was talking to God and crying, and I remembered. And I said, Lord, take the case and give me the pillow. And those words brought such comfort to me that I could hand it over to God.
Amen.
Like my mother did. I know you all have your stories. If I could speak to you individually, that we have mothers who leave us little nuggets of truth. Huh? Nuggets we could live by. Says, oh, my mama said that. Oh, my mama did that. That we could live by. And so today, I want to encourage you on Mother's Day. Those of you certainly who have your mother here with you. Have you not right here, but you have your mother still alive. For those of us whose mother's gone home to be with the Lord, my mother has. We remember them and we weep. Frankly, my mother died 4 days from Mother's Day. Or maybe it's May 16. My daughter remembers more than I do. I think I put a block in my brain, but it was in May. And we remember them. And so here are my points. If you have your mother here living, number one, give her affirmation. Affirm your mother. Young mothers, you know, teach your children to affirm your mother. Let her know that you appreciate what she's doing. Affirm her. Mom, you've been good. Affirmation is good. We all hear about we should affirm our children. Mothers should be affirmed. Give her affection. Let her know you love her. Give your mother affection. Take care of her. Acknowledge her. Acknowledge her that she's important in your life. Acknowledge her when she's here. Mom, you've been good to me. You know, mothers have sold their houses, mortgaged their houses to help their children, even when they're grown. Acknowledge her. And then give her attention. How many of us today would wish we have your mother to take them to the hairdresser and get a pedicure, a manicure, have their hair done? Or how many of us? I used to do that with my mom. I wish I could do that now. Just say, Mom, let's go have our hair done together. You know, just sit and chat. Now she's in heaven. I guess the hair is done permanently up there. But you know what I'm saying. All the mothers look good in heaven. You know, the hair is done and nails are done. But we used to do that together, give them attention. And most of all today, give them appreciation. If you haven't appreciated your mother and you have her here, appreciate her. Because when they're gone, they're gone. And we see that as I close from Jesus on the cross. As he was dying, he would remember his mother. That same mother who was there when his career began, as I would say. His ministry began. His birth. And then in the temple at 12. And then when his first miracle was done, she was there. And then through all the beatings and everything he bore, she was there. And on the cross, he said to John, John, here is your mother. Take care of my mama for me. Let us today remember our mothers and give God thanks for the gift of our beloved mothers. Amen.